Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So you discovered intertemporal travel, but you keep making a mess through time.
You fucking idiot.
When you go back, all your friends have a crack, but you inevitably ruin a whole new timeline.
Make 100 mistakes and make 100 more.
But don't worry,
because
that's what time travel's for. You can always go back
and try again.
And if you go back,
Few seconds. You can always go back.
10 souls there were to witness the ending of an age when Lion Shield Banknote stepped into the God Cell, consuming all its fury, and became undone in time.
Valet, Lion Shield Banknote, what I love about you is you taught me it was okay to be weird.
10 souls, Strahd, the Laroons, Jarek, Karsus, Itheria, and 4 more besides that a far-flung future may yet call the Dragon Friends. The God Cell trembles, and a vast shockwave rolls out over all of you, throwing everyone to the ground. Friezo, Filge, Bobby, Baston, your magical senses flare as a psychic scream of incredible power wells out of the machine and disappears. With that, the cell falls quiet, broken, used up. The door grinds open and Banknote is gone. And Karsus, Archmage Supreme of Ilanar, realizes that his last gambit has failed and that the Empire of Old High Netheril is truly doomed. Your ally Strahd breaks the still of the aftermath first by lunging for Karsus, who grabs at a locket around his neck and mutters a command word, disappearing into smoke. A minor teleportation spell, he can't have gone far, and his stalwart friend Jarek thunders out the door to alert the guards and find him. In his wake, you see a crumpled figure on the floor who did not rise. This is Itheria Worldseer, blood trickling from his wizened face. An old, broken man on the floor is dying as he signals for Bobby to come closer.
Itheria Worldseer. I try to cradle him in my arms.
Well, you've gone and bloody done it, Bobby. When your friend went into the God Cell, the knot, it's broken. Everything will be different now. The nether will depart, and the dragons will return. But I'm afraid that means you're trapped here with us. No way home for you now, old boy.
And with that, the World Seer dies.
I think that he would have...
And...
I think he would have liked to have died then, because that's a great way to go out.
Okay.
But I think it's very hard to time last words. So what happens is, he says, no way home for you now, old boy. And then Bobby holds him, and Bobby's like, are you? And he's like, yeah, I'm still here. Do you want me? I'm fine. Just wait it out.
Yeah, World Seal Itheria dies 2 days later in a hospice. But he has enough pride as a prophet and oracle to not say anything else for the remainder of the scene.
He gets really close, but the scribes will transcribe his last words as, I need to do a poo.
Yeah. Baston, I want to go look in the God box.
Yeah, the God cell, the cell that Banknote walked into, is empty.
Banknote? Where are you hiding?
Where's this body, Dave?
We don't know. It has been demolecularized, which is
demolecularized.
Not an expression. I don't know. Yeah, it's gone. It's disintegrated.
What about his items he was carrying and stuff? I just think it's important for us, because obviously if it's a god box, it would ruin the being.
Yeah.
But it might leave, for example, behind the shocking claw.
Just dust. Nothing but dust.
like up, like if I look up though, is it?
Make an if you want to ransack,
just give him a ham. There's a lovely ham in there.
Right, make for me an investigation check if you want to ransack the dust of your beloved henchman.
Well, I was going to actually say we should say some words and mourn his death and stuff. But
no, you weren't.
Wait. Was already about to loot the body, so I need to get in there quick.
Why would we say words? He's just probably just been transported somewhere else.
Yeah, what happened? What happened to that fellow?
Where'd he go?
Yeah.
I don't think... Why, surely there'd be something left.
I rolled a 21.
Okay, you get a bag full of dust, which you can add to your character sheet. And
a Christmas ham.
No, 21 is quite good.
Christmas ham.
Oh, honey glazed.
Okay, you get a Christmas ham. And that's under protest, all right? I didn't want you to have that. And
look, I don't know how the magic in this world works, but it looks like the God Box just turned banknote into a ham.
Does that mean if we put a bunch of hams in there and throw it in reverse, we'll get a bunch of banknotes?
Only one way to find out.
Yeah,
wait,
all right.
Wait a minute. Was this the banknote from our time, or is this a new banknote?
New banknote.
But the last
timeline banknote
that you had. Banknote is dead. And also, the God Cell, you have a sense of complete finality about this. Mm. This device, built by Karsus to trap a god, has unstitched him from time. Every possible example, every possible eventuality of banknote is gone, but you have his ham, you have you have a bag of dust, and honestly, I think he would be happy to go out this way.
How convenient, Dave, that this god box you invented happens to have undone my ability to dual-wield characters.
Well, in that case, if he's really dead... Oh, they're my beautiful boy now, but I am.
Look, this is obviously very, very sad, but the headline...
the dragon friends really process grief.
No.
But the headline here is, that dude just said... that we're stuck here now. Can I do like an investigation check or a perception
check
to see if I still feel the effects of time?
Yeah, make an insight check.
Okay.
DC 14.
No.
What did you get?
It's a hot no.
It's a 5.
All right, you feel great.
I think Baston, right, you guys. We never process bad stuff that happened. We just stew.
No shit, dickheads.
Whoa. What the fuck you call me?
I died in space 2 seasons ago and nobody's had a proper conversation with me about it.
Yeah, it's because you get weird about it. It's because you're fucking weird about it, dude. Yeah.
I would get weird about it, wouldn't I? Because I died in space. Like, what the fuck? Of course it's weird. You're allowed to feel weird. You're allowed to have feelings.
I think everyone's getting a little hot-headed. Let's all share some
This is
ham.
What I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about.
I get uncomfortable when people
Shut up, Dad.
Oh, what?
I mean, Baston.
I think we all go around the circle and say something we love about Lion Shield Banknote.
Okay, you go first, Filch.
Your hot dad. Next!
The thing you love about Banknote is he had a hot dad.
Yeah. And I kiss my lips and I lay it gently on the ham. Okay, your turn, Baston.
Everyone has to kiss the ham. Say a nice thing and kiss the ham.
I think he had a good way of introducing himself. You know, you really got a sense of his character just when you met him straight away, you know? And I think his skin was blue, his hair was yellow. There's a lot of good things about him.
I like that giant crab he had. I kissed the ham.
Okay, Frieza.
Just a bit of table talk here. I played that character for, 3 years? 3 years in multiple different Twitch streams and fucking live podcasts and so many different... 8 different realities. And the best things that... I know this is an indictment of my play, too, clearly. I develop a character over 3-4 years, whatever it is, and we've got hot dad, blue hair, blue skin, and big crab. That's it.
To be fair, the big crab was the largest part of your character development.
Okay, Hing. Okay, Frieza. You say your favourite thing about Lion Shield Banknote.
Frieza looks at the ham and he goes, I guess what I loved about Lionshield Banknote, and we got to know each other a bit recently, and what I liked is that he was just so different from me, Friezo. Two very distinct characters that had their own personalities and arcs and weren't just Hing grabbing at straws.
Do you mean Hing, the villain from season 3?
Ooh.
Sorry, kiss the hand. That was very nice.
Thank you. All right. What's a kiss check, Dave? What
just,
do I do?
You just have to kiss. You can't roll a dice.
Is it an unarmed strike?
You can't fail at kissing a ham. Babies know how to kiss hams. They do. No, that's not funny. That's true.
Yeah, everyone.
You can't do a... Oh, Dave, no. A baby could do this.
No,
a baby could do this.
No, you're being
That's
unfair.
Not what you said, though.
What you all don't know is that in the mid-2000s, David Harmon ran a series of quite unethical experiments at the University of Sydney where he had newborn babies and left them in a blank room with a single hand. And it actually turns out that if you leave a baby with a ham long enough, just instinctively, it will imprint on the ham.
Yeah. There was a regular ham and there was a wire ham.
Every time you kiss the regular ham, a loud siren buzzes. But if you kiss the wire ham, you get no buzz. And it turns out babies prefer no buzz wire ham than real ham buzz. That's what they found out.
Are we done with this BF Skinner riff? Or?
I believe it's Harry Harlow. But at that point...
Fuck! You hear somebody clears their voice after Friezo kisses the ham and Strahd steps forward.
Strahd, you're right. You say your favourite thing about Lion Shield Banknote.
Well, you could sort of caught me off guard here because I didn't know the bloke well, but... Well,
we've all done moving tributes, so it's your turn
No, far be it from me to not...
Strahd has met him, I would say, an hour ago at a teppanyaki restaurant.
Well, I'll tell you what, the bloke can catch an egg. You know what I mean? when that bloody chef was, I thought, he's not going to get this one. And it was just like him to catch that egg in the bowl. So that's what I'll remember the most, I suppose, about him. He was like that. If you threw an egg at him, he'd catch it.
Phil just like, it's so true.
I guess the other thing, the main thing that I love about Lion Shield Banknote is that he died to usher in this new beautiful age. Master Itheria lies dead, the man who sees all, and you heard it from his lips. Netheril's over. And look, we've got a lot to do. We've got a world to rebuild, but first I think we should take a moment to celebrate and
he pulls out a flask on his belt, pops the cork, and holds it up.
Here's a toast to...
Hang on, what's in the flask? Is this vampire juice or some shit?
No, it's not it's...
Are you a vampire yet?
No, I'm not. What do you mean yet? It's Kahlua.
You can smell the strong and heady fragrance of a Colombian liqueur.
Yeah, everybody thinks it's whiskey and I want to be real cool and drink it, but I don't like the taste, so it's Kahlua. And a bit of milk.
Just
he has a hip flask of Kahlua and milk. So white Russian.
You're right, we're all sharing here.
So you've got a white Russian hold the vodka?
Yes.
I guess it's just a white is what it is.
Well, I don't know what 20% of those words mean. But listen, we've got a big job to do. But in the morning, I think we'll get on that. But for now, I say we toast our fallen comrades. So to World Seer Itheria and want to say Boinkus.
Quick dragon huddle, everyone but Strahd. Yep. Hey.
Hey.
I think from this moment, if Netheril is over, Filch, right?
Yeah.
And we think that Strahd's going to sort of rise to power now. What if we kill Strahd now, then? And then we rise to power. Have we already done this in a timeline?
Just to bring this back to the point that we are stuck.
That's
here.
What I mean. So we kill Strahd, we drink the vampire juice, we can live eternally. We'll be the new kings.
Okay. What? Whoa. Mr. Vampire.
No, wait a second. I like this.
Yeah. What's this vampire juice?
Well, I reckon Dave's fucked us somehow. And when
Who's
he takes
Dave?
A swig of that thing.
Dave?
the powers that be.
Okay.
I reckon it's take a swig of the Kahlua, and then he'll be like, ha ha ha, this is the thing that makes me eternally powerful.
I think you're paranoid. I think Kahlua's just coffee liqueur with a little milk.
Here's one question. Here's one question I have. If he was going to put a god in that box, is there a god around here somewhere?
My question is, what are we going to call the new age? The age of jazz?
While you were doing this, you can see that happily Strahd is drinking. He's passed the glass over to Maisel LaRune, who's also taking a swig. More bottles are being procured. But I need all of you to make for me quickly a constitution save.
Oh.
Tell me what you get.
11.
12.
11.
Oh. 16.
Okay, everyone except Friezo falls to their knees. The bile rising your throats. Chronomatic dysfunction has struck once again, as if on cue, all of the lights in the room start to shudder. The entire floating citadel of Islanar lilts restlessly from a power failure that you know from your many trips to this timeline happens tonight. And also staggering through the door is another figure, wire glasses, shock of white hair, the gnome junior chronomancer, Marceline Val.
Holy freaking dooly! That's the thing I say.
Sticking with that catchphrase?
Yeah. It's, hey! Oh, wow, look at this! Wait, where's Cassus gone? Did you guys do it? Did you defeat Cassus?
He disappeared in a puff of smoke.
Hey, I'll take that. He's not here anymore. Hey, nobody went into that god box, did they?
Yeah.
Boinkus.
Hey. Not Boinkus! Hey, listen, we don't have a lot of time. I think you guys are having the chronic sickness.
Yeah, we feel like poo.
Okay, you got to get back. You got to get back.
They are built different.
You got to... Look, this is bad. You have to get back to your own time. Thank you so much for the help. But hey, take these. Okay. And she gives you the powders.
Bottoms up. These are the time sickness.
No. We are so past that.
You had already sent, if you remember, Val, you wanted to make the powders.
Oh, and these
send
are
you
the
home.
Rubber band powders.
Yes, this is to go cabroing back home. So nice meeting you. Say hi to the future for me.
All right. Let's cabroing, shall we?
We have work to do here, you know what I mean?
Should we bring... Is there enough for Strahd?
Strahd cannot cabroing.
Okay.
Oh, because he's not stretched.
All right. Yeah. So 4 doses of cabroing. All in favour of cabroining? 3, 2, 1, aye.
I mean, give it a go.
Cabroining it is.
Okay, you take the powders and you start to feel your humours rise inside you as the powders take effect, but then instantly they turn to ash in your mouth and you're forced to spit them out.
Come on, Dave.
Stuff's always turning to ash in our mouth.
It's always ash in mouth with you. Ash in mouth this, ash in mouth that.
We're up to here with ash in mouth, Dave.
Try this, it's an ash and brie.
Wait a minute. I'm still here. We should have boined.
No, because the guy said we were going to stay here.
Wait, well, what did he say? Who said this?
Worldseer Itheria said we are stuck here. So unless you can think of a way to get us back to where we came from that doesn't involve this ashen taste in our mouths, we're stuck here.
Val, you need to do more science and quick.
All right, look, leave it with me. And I'm using layman terms here. If somehow activating the god box has snapped the rubber band, then...
Sorry.
Then we...
No, it's all very well thought through.
Thank you very much. System works. Then, look, leave it with me. And Strahd says, how long do they have? And she says, oh, I don't know, 24 hours maybe? Maybe a bit more?
Until what? What, we die?
Until you get really sick!
Can we at least have some medicines? Yeah. Some other medicine? Built different.
I was saving that.
For who?
Look, you can try, but if the band has snapped, it's not going to work anymore.
Yeah, all right, I'm going to try some, but if it turns to ash in my mouth, I swear to bloody God, I'm going to go apeshit.
While this is happening, you can see that the figure of Jerick Rim, the lieutenant of Strahd, has come in and is talking in hushed tones to him. Strahd slaps him on the back and hands him a bottle, and he starts drinking too. More howlers have arrived. A party is starting in earnest around you. So triumphant they are that their silent war is over and that the city has fallen.
Well, if we've only got 24 hours left, let's do this thing. A glug glug. Hey, what's up, howlers? Oh.
Yeah, ooh. I mean, I'm sort of off the clock. I could have.
You're
like
on the clock to save our lives.
Yeah, but I could have like a shandy. Why can't Val have fun?
Because we're dying, Val.
We're all dying, Filge.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What?
Well, like, over a long enough time, we're all dying.
Hey.
Whoa.
Val.
Whoa, whoa. Hey, wait. What? I'm dying?
Yeah, baby. Life is terminal.
What? I feel good, though, right?
No, that's
now.
Not what I'm saying.
No, I feel bad. Oh?
Is yes.
it happening now? What?
Hey, Val. Oh. Can we talk about what just happened there, buddy?
No, look, it's fine.
It's just we were sort of saying, hey, maybe it's not a great idea for you to drink. And then what did you do, Val? You sort of yelled at everyone, didn't you?
Well, I was there's like a lot of stress.
The important thing is for you to know, Val, that we all love you, don't we, Filge?
Oh yeah. Yeah, you're very important to us.
Maybe you could like all go around the circle and say something,
and then kiss the ham.
I love your catchphrase. I think it's really cool.
Uh-huh. I love the way you make life-saving drugs in your laboratory very efficiently.
I love the unresolved sexual tension between you and Baston.
I have only one night left to live.
Listen. I think I have earned a shandy with all of you.
It's so funny that you are insisting on a light alcoholic beverage.
She just wants to be part of the party. She never gets to go to parties. And Baston's going to be there.
All right, I'll make you a shandy, but I'm pouring it.
So she sticks around.
The night continues.
It's mostly lemonade. It's like 90% lemonade.
There is a wild ecstasy amongst the howlers as news comes from the front line. Already, most of the academic guard have laid down their arms, so terrified they are that their archmage has
abandoned.
What
about that island that's falling from the sky?
The island, for now, is just stabilizing itself. And Bobby, as you arrive, you can actually see that that is the topic of conversation between Strahd and the Laroons. As you arrive, with drink in hand, Strahd points to the Laroons and says, "You don't understand. We're occupiers. That means we're responsible to these people. You need to do whatever it takes to land this island safely." And while the Laroons look at him and say, "You don't understand. The Mage Hold has been ransacked. We've discovered that before Karsus left the city, he took most of the ether and several priceless relics. There's very little keeping this island afloat." As Strahd looks at them and says, "You will make it work for me as you made it work for my father." And they look at him, nod, and depart as Strahd turns to face you, Bobby, and slaps a bottle of White Russian into your hand.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Oh, when did you concoct this? How long's it been in the flask for?
I don't know. I've got a couple of flasks on the go. It's not curdled. Everybody says, "Oh, your flask curdled." No. If you have good flask discipline with the Kahlua and milk, they won't curdle.
Does alcohol stop the milk from curdling?
A little bit.
Friezo has arrived.
A little bit.
Mm. All right, I'll have a go.
There you go.
Have a little swig. Dave, do I need to do a roll from your trap? No, do I turn to a vampire, Dave? Is that what happens?
Let me just quickly roll something unrelated.
Oh. Yeah, he's getting out his fucking big dice.
Special dice out of his little box that he can't open because he went to the gym today.
Oh, it's got a child lock on it, doesn't it, Dave?
I went to the gym for the first time in a year.
And now I can't roll my dice.
I can't open...
Sorry, Dave. What exercise were you doing in the gym? Was it opening a box and rolling
a
dice?
Fuck you.
You die!
It tastes of cheap Kahlua and powdered milk.
Ooh. But powdered, that's smart. That's not going to curdle.
But you seem fine. So while he toasts you, meanwhile, I guess Val and Baston, you're in another corner as Val walks up with a tiny little shandy that is mostly lemon.
Oh,
hey, Val, I have to go. And Baston scuttles over to Filge and says, Filge, hypothetically, if someone only had one night to live, and that someone had never maybe been with anyone, what do you, what is a main, do you have a map
or something.
Okay, all right. Look, the first thing you have to do is make sure that you're not being violently ill at the time.
Oh, okay.
That's very important when making love.
Okay, right.
But also, because Filge is an orc, or half-orc, maybe the things that Filge likes are different to the things that Val might like. So
Friezo, you're a famous lover. What would you do?
Well, no, I'm just saying that... I don't know. I'm just saying that... But Filge, if you want to tell...
Okay, I am literally dying. I am dying right now. I need a plan.
Baston, you're thinking about yourself. You have to think about her. What she want? What she like? Don't think about yourself. And don't yell, I'm literally dying while you're doing it.
Okay. Now, well, thank you, finally, for some useful information. Okay, so how do I... Can I ask her what she wants?
Yes, of course.
All right, okay.
I think you should.
All right, okay, right. Because I don't want to seem like a virgin or something. I mean, I don't want my friend to seem like...
You know what the sexiest move in bed is?
Diddling.
Wait, what's diddling?
Diddle this, diddle that, diddle here, diddle there.
Just diddle?
Yeah.
All right.
Filge gives you... Filge.
I was going to say listening.
No.
Filge gives you a big thumbs up, Baston.
Okay.
You spin around, and as the howler band that has... You spin around, and as the howler band that has started to play in the corner starts playing a slow song, the crowd of revelers parts, and you can see by the drinks table the figure of Marceline Val nursing her small shandy.
Dave, is there anything around that one could make fairy lights out of?
Yeah, there is...
Fairies.
Okay, I start just pegging fairies to the ceiling all around in a beautiful constellation.
They hate that. They absolutely hate that.
Well, that's okay because I'm pegging them, you know, through their little hearts.
All right, okay.
So, wait, does that mean the lights are sort of going out?
It's nice. It's sort of flickering.
The twinkling...
It's really sweet.
They're twinkling.
The twinkling lights of a dozen dying fairies illuminate.
So Baston goes over and sidles up to Val, like, very, very, like, oh, hey.
Oh, hey.
Sorry, I had to go and be sick because I didn't want to do that on you.
Oh, that's...
Listen.
Yeah.
What do you like?
What?
Do you like diddling?
What?
Baston gives the big thumbs up across the room.
It's going great.
Hey, listen. Yeah. Can you do that? Can you just listen?
I've heard that listening is sexy.
And then she gives him a smooch on his mouth.
And
I'm the best. And I assume this will be good.
Fairies die by the score. So too scores Baston and Drirovich.
It's good stuff. It's
Child
good
of Barovia. As the party continues, the city is theirs. Casas may be gone for now, but for tonight, for one night, perhaps our last night, we can party, and party they all do, as one by one the dragon friends succumb to drink and merriment and pass out until they awaken the next day at the dawning of the second age. Filge, you open your eyes slowly. Bobby nestled in your arm. A bottle of Kahlua nestled in Bobby's.
Did we?
Yeah, I mean,
No.
Whoa, you guys diddled each other hard last night.
Frieza walks in with a coffee.
Ooh, I didn't see anything, but it looks like you guys diddled. I don't know.
Beep, beep. Someone who's had sex coming through. Hello.
Baston is wearing a tiny robe.
Good morning, my friends. Welcome to the age of jazz. Boy, oh boy, do I have a thing or two to teach you. It was good. It was really... Why didn't I do this sooner? Wow, wow, wowie, wow, wow.
Baston, I mean, you had a good time. What did what do you think of, what was Val? Do you think she had a great time?
She gave me a very comprehensive feedback, and he pulls out a dossier.
Hey, bro, honestly, you know what's really sexy?
Diddling?
Receiving data, working on it, improving, feedback, it's a great loop.
Iterative improvement, loop. That's all we want.
It's great. All right, it's Virgin, great. Let me tell you something.
And Val comes out from where Baston entered, which you now see is Carsus's private bedroom that they'd taken over.
And how's Val looking?
Sorry?
How's she
She's looking rumpled and relaxed. But
is she wearing a bed sheet? What's going on?
Ooh. No, she's wearing inexplicably one of Baston's t-shirts that he has. that with the university he went to on it. And she comes out and she says, Oh my god, what did you put in that shandy? I'm just kidding, it was mostly lemonade. But look, it's the time. Look, I said I'd get to work, and you know what? I was thinking all night, well, some of the night. About your problem, and I think I've cracked it. So listen, come to my lab in like 5 hours
think
or so.
I already know someone that come to your lab.
Hey-o!
Lab
me.
Is pussy. Woo!
Sorry, lab means pussy.
Yeah, lab is pussy. Come is come.
Phil's made a diagram. Lab equals pussy. Come equals come.
I'll come. Come to my lab in 5 hours, and I think I'll have a solution for you. Do anything you need to do before, because I'm sending you back, all of you.
Yes.
And she looks
at Baston. She looks at Baston, yeah.
Oh, no.
What?
But I thought we'd get... This was... Oh. It feels pretty good to be used. Thanks.
So you can all take the rest of the day off. Everybody has a long rest, and you all make it to level 9.
Wait!
Congratulations.
Wait! Where's Banknote?
Friezo pulls out the ham.
Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness. I thought I'd do something I might regret.
Over the night, because no one obviously asked what Friezo was doing when he was drinking last night, but he has dyed the ham blue.
This is all part of his natural process.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the ham has been salted and cured, so it's not going to go off. It's preserved, so yeah. Now it's blue. And we'll just see what other banknote-esque accoutrements are added to the ham.
All right, congratulations.
It's sitting in a small crab.
Are there any, Dave, are there any cushions with sort of blonde or golden tassels on them around?
Beautiful fringe on the table, on the drinks table.
We'll hold on to them for a while. All right, golden tassels.
The golden tassels from the drinking table. So all of you make it to level 9. I've already taken the liberty in the off season.
Nice to get a day off for the dragon friends, isn't it?
Of upgrading all your character sheets.
Thank you.
So you've all got some new abilities and more hit points and spells.
Thank you. Do I have more spells?
You have improved crits at level 9 as a barbarian. You do more damage when you do a critical hit.
Boring. When can I fly?
And everybody goes to full hit points, gets all their spell slots back, and then in the afternoon you make your way to Val's lab. All of you, your stomachs... The bile has been rising through the day.
Oh, shit. Dave, I just Googled one of the spells you gave me.
Yeah.
I love it when you Google on stage at a live show. It's
well, I didn't know what this was.
I gave you this character sheet 2 days ago.
Not enough live entertainment does that. You never see Bono Google during a show.
Let me check the lyrics to this one. No.
Oh, that's a good Bono.
That was a good Bono.
Okay. You've given me a thing called Dance Macabre.
Yeah.
And it kind of raises skeletons from the ground.
Yeah, up to five skeletons.
Why'd you give him that, Dave? He's going to do crook stuff with it.
Do they have to be... Do the skeletons already have to be there?
Yeah, they're not... Well, here's the thing. First of all, it says here they're all big-titty anime babes. I didn't make that up. No, it doesn't say that's a joke. But it means, Dave... I can only do it when there are corpses around.
Yes, it's a standard...
So you've given me a spell that I can only activate when I've already killed like a bunch
given
of
you
people.
It's the standard hex...
And you don't need to kill the... Like, do you think... What?
You could activate that hand. What is a ham but a corpse?
It's the corpse.
The ham
pig.
Is an emergency corpse.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. I'm just saying, Dave, when I kill 5 to 7 people and make 5 to 7 corpses later, just know that you set me up for
this. Yeah, and I think you have a blink spell and you have wall of light. You have a lot of spells there, so congratulations. You all arrive to hear the sound of loud machinery. It's what sounds like a buzzsaw coming from Val's lab. And as you open the door, she turns around and a huge welding helmet is on her. She winds it up and she's standing with a big arc welder saw combination device.
Phew. Oh, it's something that fuses and cuts at the same time.
Val is a visionary. And
magic, baby!
Woo! A brilliant gnome artificer. And she's standing in front of a wheeled pallet about the size of a giant carriage. And standing on top of that is a huge prototypal device of some kind, a giant invention. The center, it looks for all the world.
Is this a DeLorean?
Like a giant octopus.
You got us a DeLorean. Is it a DeLorean?
It looks for all the world like a giant octopus.
So, yes.
Wow, Val. Round two, getting a little kinky. Okay.
Come in. Everybody come in.
Now, just quickly, so the head of it is a hinged glass dome that seems to be full of a kind of lilting green amniotic liquid, and there is a which is glowing a brilliant green with a tetrahedron stone bobbing inside it. And then there are sarcophagi, 4 of them, built around it. And the tentacles are wiring and rubber tubing coming out of this orb wrapped around these sarcophagi.
Is one sarcophagi built for 2?
No, they look like single sarcophagi.
Single.
They have post-it notes, however, written. And in Val's handwriting, you can see what they say. Bobby, Filge, Friezo, Baston.
What big coffin octopus you make?
Okay, listen. This is great. I'm really clever to begin with, okay? But this is like I've hit it out of the park. Last night when we were talking about the band snapping thing and how you can't travel through time anymore, that's not true. But we're traveling through time right now. Look. Ha! I'm in the future! Do you know what I'm saying? The question is how long you can travel in time for. So, this is the cold cell engine. Yeah, I've knocked it up, I've tested it, it works fine.
What did you do with it to test it? Where did you go?
Well, I didn't go anywhere. This is the point. You don't need to go back. You just need to go forward.
Oh.
Okay.
But if we go forward, will we also age?
No, that's how the cold cell works. Oh. You go into boxes. You sleep. It's like no time passes at all.
In Futurama one.
Ah, Futurama. I saw that in Tokyo, Japan. Yeah.
You sleep for 1,000 years. You wake up. Yeah, it's just like time travel, but it's not. We don't need the stupid band anymore. Forget about the band. The band's gone.
But how long it take?
1,000 years.
But what
to it take 1,000 years to travel 1,000 years?
Yeah!
No,
okay,
but for you...
What?
No, for you, in the cold sleep engine, the cold cells, you will experience it...
But how do we stop... if it's 1,000 years in the future, how do we stop someone not, like, waking us up or eating the octopus or waking us up...
Okay, look, these are all problems that I have thought about and that I don't have a ready solution for. But here's the thing. All we need to do is get you in there and then I can come up with it. I'll build you something. I'll move the boxes deep, deep, deep underground and where nobody will find them for thousands of years. I will build you, my darling Baston, a guardian, a mechanical guardian of such strength that no one will ever touch you for 1,000 years. And then you will wake and you will be home.
Wow.
Wow, she really don't want you to be with anyone else, Baston.
That's what Ringy happens much? When you're a famous muse.
Wow, great time travel machine. Just big sleepy bye-bye machine. Me not that impressed.
Yeah.
Look, the mechanics...
What the octopus bit for?
Guys.
Why, what's
you're being
for?
Really rude to my girlfriend, okay?
Your
my long-term girlfriend.
My long-term, my the love of my life.
How does Val react to being called Baston's girlfriend?
She blushes.
Oh.
It's pretty rude to not get into the octobox, okay?
Dude, if I'd gotten into every octopus one of my friend's girlfriends has asked me to get into.
Listen, I know it's not perfect. I know this is not how we like to travel. I know you would much rather, I don't know, flying first class to Los Angeles with free tickets. It's funny! It's funny now!
Really?
A joke that will not make sense to the podcast audience.
As she says this, she's taking out a giant syringe and she opens up what you recognize now from your time in Netheril as an ether bank built into the wall. And she pulls a large syringe of ether out of the bank and then injects it into the glass dome. And with that, the light, the green light, shines three times as brightly, runs down the tubing of the tentacles surrounding the sarcophagi, and they all begin to glow.
Listen to me. I don't know how long I will live, but I promise you all that from the moment you get into that box to the moment I breathe my last, I will dedicate my life to protecting you.
And all of us equally, or just Baston? Let's be honest.
Well, it's kind of a package deal. The octopus is sort of, you can't separate them.
Okay. Well, this guardian you're going to build at the front of it, it's going to have to be terrifying. It's going to have to be real scary.
Do you have some ideas for it?
Well, I was just thinking we could design the scariest thing imaginable.
I say we stay on theme and keep with the tentacles.
Okay.
You know, matchy-matchy.
If that would make you feel better, you can have some input.
Yeah.
None of you are engineers.
Spikes.
What do we want? What?
Frowny face.
Frowny face.
Okay, I'm writing this down. Spikes. Not writing it down, by the way. Ben is writing it down. She is not writing it down.
Okay, so it's an octopus with spikes and tentacles, like, and a frowny face.
Quite rough skin that's unpleasant to touch.
Unpleasant skin. Like, this is all great stuff, guys.
Like a cracked heel. Yuck. Ugh.
Give it a weird hat. Yeah. Never ever like, yeah, what?
Weird.
Why is it wearing a fedora? Why?
Yeah. What's with that guy? Yeah.
No, Abraham Lincoln hat. Give it a...
Abraham Lincoln. I not only do I know who that is, but I'm writing this down.
Oh, and it should have a flavor saver. You know, one of those gross little beards just
under
the
chin. You are all very unwell.
And he should have a really scary catchphrase.
Yeah, like, I'm an octopus and I'm going to eat my own butthole.
And it should have a really cold and not really mothering demeanor. Just like frosty and kind of aloof.
And could you pre-program some like passive-aggressive zingers?
That's enough. Like, I think we've got what we call
real dump truck ass.
Dump truck ass. Okay.
Yeah. Make it clap.
So this is what we call in the business scope creep.
We just want a think scary octopus, mama. That's what we want.
Okay. I will... See, it sounded so much better when I said I will dedicate my life to keeping you safe. But now I have to tell you, I will dedicate my life to building this octopus with spikes and a frowny face and an unpleasant demeanor and a sort of weird standoffish cold mother thing and a weird Abraham Lincoln hat and a dump truck ass that claps. Is that right? Well, I will do all of these things for all of you, but especially for one of you.
And she turns to face Baston.
It's not you!
And she takes his hands in hers, tiny, only coming up to just above his abs. They look into each other's eyes.
I need you to be brave.
I'm scared.
It will be just like going to sleep and like nothing ever happened. But listen.
What?
There are four boxes. If I could come with you, I would, but we have so much work to do here.
You've got to build that weird machine thing.
Yeah, I do have to. That was going to take me like a week, but
just
now...
Make sure that dump truck ass claps.
I mean, she thinks about saying something else about the rebuilding of the society and all the rest of it, but then she just looks at his sweet, stupid face... And says, I will make sure that it's dump truck ass claps.
Val, you know when you told me that I was dying?
Yeah.
You're wrong. I'm never gonna die.
And with that, Baston disappears into the device. One after another of the dragon friends leave to follow Baston to where we do not know, to when we do not know, and Val quietly goes about her business. Picture, if you will, a laboratory. As we slowly track up, we see four figures encased in granite sarcophagi, crystal viewports built into the front as she plugs them one by one into her device, stopping only at last in front of one marked Baston, where she wipes the viewport, looks in, and turns away to continue with her life's great work as the dragon friends travel through sleep to a world beyond that we shall find out on the next episode of The Dragon Friends. Thank you!
The Dragon Friends are Alex Lee, Eden Lacey, Simon Greiner, and Michael Hing. Our Dungeon Master is Dave Harmon, with NPC voices provided by Ben Jenkins and live accompaniments by Tom Cardi. Shakira Khan is our producer. The podcast is edited, mixed, and mastered by me, Hugh Guest, and new episodes are recorded live every month at the Comedy Store in Sydney on Gadigal Land in the Eora Nation.
Make 100 mistakes and make 100 more. But don't worry, 'cause that's what time travel's for. You can always go back
and try again.
And if you go back
and kill your friends,
you can always go back
an extra few seconds.
You can always go back.
I also got a message from Demi Lardner, who's in the audience.
Hi, Demi.
So during the show, taking a cue from Michael Hing, she Googled, can a baby kiss a ham? And the first hit is from www.parents.com, and it just says, my daughter had infant botulism, what you should know.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.